one of my longtime and favorite guests is here this morning, Ann Harrigan, the director of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. I'm glad you're missing out on the ice and snow when you travel all the way to Kalamazoo for these interviews. You know, we've had our difficulties in the past.
We have. Today was a great day, great drive down, beautiful. I can't believe snow, really? Too soon.
Good morning, Ann. And let's tell listeners, you're conducting a concert of film music by the great John Williams this Saturday.
Yes, the wonderful world of John Williams this Saturday in Battle Creek, the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra at the W.K. Kellogg Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And this has been such a fun concert to put together. And it started about a year ago, and when I started collecting the pieces that were available, I had three concerts worth of music.
So much to choose from, such an incredible career. He's in his 80s or maybe close to 90 at this point.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what a wide breadth of music. It's just fantastic. I think you can't think of movie music without thinking of John Williams. And what a spectacular composer. We're going to be showing in this concert really the wide range of pieces, from pieces that are very well known to pieces that some folks might not have heard and will absolutely love.
That's what I was going to find out from you, as if you were mixing it up with the familiar and unfamiliar. And that's a wonderful thing that you can do as a music director, is not only showcase favorites, but point out some of the great work that's gone a bit neglected over the years.
Yes, I think it's going to be fun. And we are also having four youth choruses performing with us: the Battle Creek Boy Choir, Battle Creek Girls Chorus, Penfield High School Chorus, Harper Creek High School Chorus, who is going to be performing with us for the very first time, as far as we know, at least in the last 28 years, but we think in the history of the Battle Creek Symphony, this will be Harper Creek Chorale's debut with the orchestra, and Lakeview Choir. So we will have 150 young people performing on stage with us. We're very excited.
Oh, that is really exciting. And if I were in the shoes of one of these young singers, I'd be getting butterflies already for being on a stage in front of a 2,000-seat auditorium.
Yes, I think 1914 seats.
Yeah, close.
So, but no, they're going to be great. I've been traveling the last 2 weeks. I've been going to these schools. Sadly, as a musician, they seem to have the rehearsals at 8:30 in the morning. Terrible time to sing, don't you think? But they are great people. And they're ready. They've got this down pat. They're going to have a lot of fun because they've been rehearsing separately. They won't rehearse together until Friday night. So they've been rehearsing in their kind of blocks of 45 and 50 singers.
That's right. That's where you put all your trust in the directors, to know that the process will take you to a final performance, even though you can't hear yourself yet with the full orchestra.
Yeah, and the directors are fantastic. They've done such a good job preparing the choirs and asking questions. And, you know, for me, I have certain things that I know in my head and I have conversations in my head, but sometimes I forget just to remind, you know, the singers, it's different when you're singing with an orchestra. So it was really fun to visit the students at their schools this week.
You have an orientation, I think, as a person toward connecting and inviting people to come together, maybe some people that wouldn't ever have had the chance to join an orchestra, when you just see something in possibilities with different people and their talents. You've brought folk artists into the orchestra programs, you've brought Broadway singers and much more. So I'm not surprised to hear that there are new singers coming in, and you've invited choruses of the community to perform. I'm not sure this all is leading to a question. It's just an observation.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's our mission at the Music Center. It's building community through music. So it's right in line with our mission to get these kids involved. And there's such great young people. You know, we hear so many things, you know, about the trials and tribulations, the challenges that young people have. And these choral programs are safe havens, and the band and orchestra programs for the students. We know that if kids get involved in band, orchestra, choir, they're going to stay in school more. They're less likely to use drugs. They even perform higher on their SATs. And so this is a way that we can really kind of help support the school programs, you know, focusing on something that's going right. We also do a lot of work with at-risk students, you know, areas in which there are challenges. So we try to do as much as we can to make the community stronger. And this was an easy and fun one.
The concert is at 7:30 p.m., as always, at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in downtown Battle Creek. It's The Wonderful World of John Williams. So let's get back to Mr. Williams. I pulled up Wikipedia. He was born in 1932, which
Excellent.
Means in 2012 he was 80.
All right.
So I think he must be 87.
He's going 80. Strong.
Yeah. So, and he's had such an impact. One of the movies, many of the films you are drawing music from, they still count to me as contemporary movies, even though they're slowly moving into classics.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of.
I mean, there's a couple on here I think, it's been a while.
Well, could we start with some music of your choice? Why don't you pick out a theme to start with?
Well, one of the movies that maybe some of the younger generation doesn't know but has fantastic music is E.T. You know, and that's definitely in the area of the classic range. I mean, I saw that on film, but perhaps a few people haven't.
Wasn't it just yesterday?
Just yesterday, absolutely. But this is a great piece because it shows the virtuosity of Williams' writing and the contrast. If you listen carefully to it, you're going to hear mixed meters. In other words, at the first three measures, it's a 3-4, it's a 3-8, and a 2-4 right off the bat. So he's kind of shifting the perspective. A lot of energy in the strings, and then, of course, the classic brass that you'll hear. And then the middle of it, there are some beautiful legato passages, and this is the area where you see the tenderness between E.T. and the young boy, whose name I do not remember.
Henry?
Oh, could be.
I don't know.
Could be. So anyway, it's just such great writing.
Music from E.T. by John Williams, and it really makes you wonder what the movie would be like if someone else had composed the score. It's so integral to the experience of that film.
It is. There's a great YouTube video that I love. It's the throne room scene from Star Wars with the dialogue and no music. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to, our listeners have to find this because it just speaks volumes as to what the music does for setting the scene. I've also seen fun things where they'll take different music, you know, to a scene. It sets the emotion so beautifully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does. It gets your heart thumping.
It's a manipulation of a very, very otherwise pretty static and dull scene. Music can make all the difference.
It is. You're right. It's a very static scene, and you don't think about it because this music is so fantastic. And the thing about film music, and John Williams in particular, there's a couple of things that I'd like to say that's very special about John Williams. And one of the reasons we're doing this concert is because of his belief in the power of music and the importance of availability of music. Battle Creek Symphony, we're a very small budget orchestra. We're We're kind of a small town with big goals and big dreams. You know, if you've ever been to W.K. Kellogg Auditorium, you know, we got, like you said, a 2,000-seat auditorium in a relatively small community. And that's kind of the mindset of the entire community. And there's a lot of things we'd like to do, but budget-wise, we just can't. And music that is in the that is not in the public domain, in order to do that, the expense for having something arranged, and we do it on occasion, but it's prohibitively expensive. We can't do it very often. So John Williams decided to make his music available for purchase. He'd created something called the John Williams Signature Editions, of which every single piece we're performing is one of them. And he did this, and it's not cheap. They're his original orchestrations. It's his arrangements. But schools can purchase them. Orchestras like the Battle Creek Symphony can purchase them, Kalamazoo Symphony, and we do. And I think this music is getting performed because he, the composer, made it available to the general public. And I think it's something that's a legacy that won't be forgotten, because there's other pieces that you just can't get good arrangements for, or you can't get access. And those pieces will fall out of the mindset of the audience because you can't hear them. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't perform anything without music. We have to have sheet music.
That's kind of a basic need, yeah.
So it's something I just always want to give a shout out to John Williams. And also to the film music industry in general. I kind of have this dark joke, you know, I always say, we'd like to thank you, Hitler, for the great film music we have today.
Hitler.
Yes. Thank you, Hitler.
Explain that, please.
Yes. Well, here's what happened. In the 1930s, when Hitler came to power, he created an art exhibit called Entartete Kunst. And my German's not very good, so I'm not saying this very well. I actually saw a recreation of it in the Orange County Museum years and years ago, in which he targeted different people for having, the translation is degenerate art. He targeted Jews, atheists, anybody who wasn't modernists, anybody who's writing modern music, art and music. And he created an exhibit that was mocking and attacking these people. And anybody who is smart saw the writing on the wall, or who could. One of the people who left was Max Korngold.
Max Steiner
was another one. Max Steiner, Eric Korngold. Thank you. Korngold. Well, he left and he came to California and he did everything possible he could to get his friends out of Germany and get them into California. And Max Steiner was another one. Eric Korngold, Franz Waxman.
Yeah. They're the huge, huge names.
Huge names that we know, and they were German or German-Jewish emigres who left during this period, right around the time of this exhibit, left before World War II, and they started really the big, if you think of Gone with the Wind, for example, you know,
Max Steiner.
Right? Exactly. Errol Flynn, you know, the Errol Flynn, Captain Blood, and Eric Korngold, right?
Eric Korngold, yeah.
So that was the beginning of this great big orchestra sound. And this is what, you know, John Williams heard. And John Williams took even more from that. He really borrowed from and was inspired by so many different genres of music. He's also a fantastic composer outside of the film industry. He's written several concertos, you know, that I have performed, and they're just wonderful. And he's written some concertos into his film music, which has been fun. I think of Escapades from Catch Me If You Can is one of them.
Turned into a great saxophone concerto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, so fantastic music and so varied. I mean, it's not very often you can take one composer and have a whole evening and have so many pieces sound so very different.
Well, I'm speaking with Maestra Anne Harrigan of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, who's leading a John Williams concert on Saturday at 7:30 called The Wonderful World of John Williams. Starts off with the Raiders March from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then we hear some highlights from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Then the E.T. themes that we just listened to. In a more modern era, from the 2000s, we have music from Harry Potter and the very first film of
yes.
this, but not just that first film. But I thought now's a good time to take another break.
Definitely, and definitely. This is an interesting piece because performing this music is not for the faint of heart. It's easy to think that a Pops concert is, you know, simple music. But remember that John Williams conducted the Boston Pops. He conducted the London Symphony. You know, he wrote incredibly difficult music for orchestras. And one of the most famous of these is Harry Potter. Listen to the string parts in this opening of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
That's music from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, music by John Williams. And conductor Anne Harrigan will lead a whole concert of John Williams at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in Battle Creek this Saturday with the wonderful Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra performing the music. There are special guest choirs involved from the community. And as we mentioned, John Williams has really become one of the biggest names in film music. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, Anne, is how film music is written in service to a bigger piece of art. You know, it tags along with the movie and the story and the acting, and so historically, it's not been given the same kind of credence as concert music, the kind that you go to the concert and hear a symphony for. I think that the resurgence or the insistence on film music being considered concert music is largely fan-driven.
I would agree.
People have been paying attention to music and movies for decades and demanding to hear the music they love from the movies in their concert halls.
Yes, and let's kind of break that apart for a minute and think about the fallacy of that. Think about ballet music, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about, you know, 90%, not 90%, probably 50% of what symphonies play is in service or accompanying to another medium. Ballet, opera, musical theater, movies. I'm probably missing something, but ballet is the one that strikes me. If you think of the Nutcracker or Swan Lake or Romeo and Juliet or, and that is certainly considered to be legitimate symphonic music that stands on its own. A perfect example of a piece that, frankly, I think stands on its own better than it was originally conceived of is Copland's Appalachian Spring.
Oh, right. That's a ballet.
Exactly. It's a ballet. And have you ever seen Martha Graham's choreography?
No, I haven't.
I have. And I was it completely changed. I have to say, it didn't grab me personally. I mean, it's very interesting, and I thought it was interesting, but it wouldn't be the sort of thing I'd go to time and time again the way I would for the music. There's other choreographies I've seen that I think have, you know, impacted me more. In fact, one of the most impressive things I ever saw was a college orchestra who danced and played.
That sounds like an interesting concert.
It was fantastic, but we're digressing. So, opera is another one. Great opera scores, you know, that have made it onto the stage. And so, to me, it depends on the quality of the symphonic writing, and certainly with these John Williams pieces, you know, they are becoming part of the core repertoire, I think, because of the availability and because of the writing. And I think the other thing that Williams does is he really is showcasing different styles. The next piece we're going to listen to is music from Schindler's List, very different from Harry Potter, and yet this is a film that was completely in black and white, and it has a violin soloist. Oleg Bezuglov will be our soloist for this. And it sets the stage in a very intimate and Eastern European feel to it. And so it's different. Also different because a lot of Williams' pieces uses a huge orchestra. This one has violin solo. It has an alto flute, which is a little different color.
That's
You heard the celeste in the opening of Harry Potter. He likes to use different instruments to kind of change things up. But listen to the mournfulness, the intimacy, and the palette, I guess you'd say, of this piece compared to Adventures on Earth, compared to Harry Potter.
Truly exquisite. That's a live performance of music from Schindler's List, of course, by John Williams. And you can hear an exquisite live performance at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. My guest today is conductor Anne Harrigan, who has programmed The Wonderful World of John Williams for Saturday night. How can people find out about tickets and such?
Best way is to give Patrick a call. 269-963-1911. Lots of information there. Or just check out our website, battlecreeksymphony.org, where we've got information on the program. We also have a pre-concert talk at 6:45. And those two ways are probably the easiest way to find out more about the program and what's happening Saturday night, 7:30 at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in downtown Battle Creek.
Fabulous. Again, that's battlecreeksymphony.org, 269-963-1911. Tickets available at many different prices, and Patrick will probably help guide you through that.
Yes, yes. I was driving down earlier, and he was on the phone this morning, so I know he loves to talk to people, so...
This concert, of course, music of John Williams, and we've already mentioned quite a lot of the music on the program. We've talked about the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. We listened to music from E.T., mentioned Jurassic Park and Raiders of the Lost Ark, Schindler's List, and we've really touched on maybe half of it at this point.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
Plenty more to talk about. What would you like to talk about next? Perhaps a really a scary fish.
Yes. Oh, yes. Jaws. This is for you, Susan. Our executive director, Susan Balbaugh, basically had her request in, I think, 2 years ago. We had to have the music from Jaws. So
everyone immediately out there is going, da, 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 da.
Isn't that something? Talk about iconic music,
yeah.
Right? I mean, who doesn't know that theme?
And, why is it so cool?
Well, it's definitely one of the three or four, I think, musical motifs that everybody knows. It's actually looking at the way he wrote it and the score, it starts with a long timpani roll, which you don't even hear. It just has it's a sound of the motors, sort of. And then it's in the basses, that low, you know, growling and kind of, I don't know, that menacing approaching slowly. And it actually starts very softly and very slowly a few more times than we think of. And the part that you do and I do is now the shark is getting a lot closer.
Oh, you know? So when you're at that tempo, the attack is imminent.
The attack is imminent, yeah. But in the score, which is really fun because I can't say I had thought about it, you know, he's been swimming around for a while. And so we'll get to hear that in the orchestra. And so it definitely, you know, gives you goosebumps.
Did you mention that Williams even writes a fugue at some point in this score, which makes me think, wasn't he writing too much for, at the time, a low-budget, untested director film? Like, he gave, you know, his A material.
Oh, yes. He's got this huge, the Shark Cage Fugue, which is a fugue like something that Bernstein wrote for West Side Story. I mean, it's all over the place. It's crazy. It's one of the things that we're not going to be able to perform because of time limitations, but I definitely want to do it at some point because it's so cool and so demanding. And I think that's how we had fun with it, if you think of all these different things. And that's one of the ones I would say is a classic, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You know?
But he was writing before that. He wrote The Cowboys, music from The Cowboys.
When's this movie? Era.
60s, early 60s, yeah. So he's been writing for a while, and he's still writing. He just wrote his last Star Wars score, and he wrote the fantastic score that we performed 2 years ago for the first series of the new Star Wars films, which is completely different. You know, so what a wide range. Storied history.
Born in 1932, he's 86, 87.
Yes, yep, still writing.
Right
still
now.
Still writing.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Well, you could celebrate a great living composer by attending this concert on Saturday.
This is true.
I have a quick clip of Williams himself conducting some of this music from Jaws.
Fantastic.
So we'll take a short break for that.
Thank you.
Gosh, that's fun.
I know, it is. What a great performance, too.
John Williams and the Boston Pops, live in concert with his own music, music from Jaws, of course.
I love the laugh.
Where they, yeah, they heard the first two notes.
Yeah, that's it. They're there. They're there. They're on board. So, yes, we're having some fun with this concert, The Wonderful World of John Williams. It's going to be here before we know it this Saturday. Warming our hearts and after our brief attack of winter tomorrow. Hopefully
yeah,
very brief.
That's very, yeah, real short. You could you tell us some more about the pieces we haven't yet talked about for this concert? Because there's still a few great
yes.
highlights to mention.
Well, we've got the Patriot, one of my favorites. Fantastic writing. And then on the second half, we've got these songs that the students will be singing, Double Trouble, from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, is that how you say that? A Hymn to the Fallen from Saving Private Ryan, always brings a tear to my eyes. Dry Your Tears, Africa, from Amistad. And one of my personal favorites, the theme from Angela's Ashes.
Now there's one no one is expecting.
Nope. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful piano writing, very haunting piece, an homage to Finzi, I would say, which is interesting because it's about an Irish family, but he definitely writes in what I would call the English string school. Reminds me of Finzi's Eclogue for Piano and Orchestra.
You're referencing a composer named Gerald Finzi, I think?
Yes,
yeah.
I am, sorry. Yes.
Who, yeah, maybe has not the name he once had. He's
yes.
not in the same, he was in the same generation as Elgar and
Vaughan Williams.
Williams.
If you think of Vaughan Williams, so that very rich, haunting string sound. So, as I said, I'm a big fan of the English school anyways, and I think that Williams did a beautiful job with this.
Angela's Ashes. And anything else we might be surprised by?
Surprised? I think we've probably covered everything. The Dry Your Tears, Africa is wonderful. With the choruses, singing in, I'm going to have to remember what language specifically it is, but they've had a great experience learning that tune, having that sort of a groove, you know, singing together. But I think that listening for all the different instruments, there will be more instruments on stage, more people on stage than you typically see, a more variety of colors. We have something with orchestras called doubling, in which people will, you know, perform different instruments. So we've got a lot of that going on, a huge brass section. The minute we announced this program, all of my principals said that they wanted extra players to save their lips. So it's, so we'll have everything from a huge orchestra to a very small intimate orchestra to the choir and orchestra. And
let's remind listeners, you've invited the Lakeview High School Choir, the Penfield High School Chorale, and for the first time, the Harper Creek Honors Choir
yes.
to join you on this concert.
And of course, we have the Battle Creek Boy Choir and the Battle Creek Girls Chorus, the Music Center's core choirs there, who will be having an open house, by the way, on Monday, November 26th.
Oh.
So if anybody wants to come and check them out with a free rehearsal at a free opportunity to check out the Boy Choir and the Girls Chorus. It's a wonderful group to be a part of. Quite a few people that I run into in the high schools and also at the community chorus started out with the Boy Choir and the Girls Chorus, as well as many of the teachers in our community are either former Boy Choir, Girls Chorus participants or parents. So it's been a big part of our tradition.
And I'm sure you want to spread the word.
Yes.
On that. And listeners, if you know any families in Battle Creek with kids who would enjoy the safe haven of a choir and great activities and chances to perform in front of thousands of people, this is a great activity and great forming great memories for kids. I mean, that's why they stay and continue in high school and sometimes come back and teach conducting or be part of adult choirs.
It is. It is. It's so much fun to see them grow up. I've been here long enough now that, you know, the little ones now are in college. So it's exciting to see how they've gone on and really enjoyed this part of their lives.
Well, I'm afraid we have to tear ourselves away from this wonderful program, the wonderful world of John Williams. The news is coming up in just a few minutes. Would you give us something to listen to on the way out?
Well, when I think of John Williams, there's only one piece that comes to mind first. And of course, it'll be on our program. I think some of you might recognize it.